Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
He is a Browns Hall of Famer. He is the man behind Hall of Fame beef. As a matter of fact, I have not gotten the apple cheddar Hall of Fame beef snack sticks out of my cabeza since. I'm on the website. I'm going to order some before the end of this segment, but not before we hear the expert analysis of Joe Thomas, who joins us now on the fan hotline. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Well, it's great to have you here. And one more time, the apple cheddar beef snack sticks, they've stayed with me since training camp.
Well, you know, like Coca-Cola early versions, they had an illicit drug in there that hooked people. I'm not going to say anything, but there's definitely some addictive properties of our apple cheddar beef sticks from Hall of Fame Beef. So it's not just you, buddy. It's me, it's my children, it's everybody. So hopefully we can keep the same recipe, unlike Coke, for the long time, because that stuff really is like crack cocaine, baby.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't care what's in it as long as it makes me feel the way it makes me feel, which is very alive. Joe,
yes.
Joe, I got to ask you, buddy. I'm not sure if you watched Thursday Night Football, but how did it feel to watch Joe Flacco do what he did last night for the Bengals?
I don't know. I may have a different take than a lot of people, but you know, I built a little bit of a relationship with Joe over this season, and then when he was here a couple years ago, and then obviously just playing against him for a long time. So he's a good person. He's a fun guy to cheer for. He gave me some joy a couple years ago in that playoff run. And the fact that he was beating the Steelers made me kind of happy about it. I know that there was probably a lot of Browns fans going, man, where was this when he was on our team? But we don't have the weapons right now on offense. We don't have the offense for him to be able to use his talents, which is stand in the pocket and fling the football to a spot. And so when you got a guy like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, like, he's still a pretty good quarterback because there's nothing wrong with that dude's arm.
So, okay, so there's no part of you that looks at what he was able to do and then say, where was this just a few weeks prior? Why wasn't Stefanski able to get this? Even though, listen, Joe, I'm right there with you. You don't have the offensive line. You don't have the receivers. It's not the same. But they at least let him throw the ball deep.
Well, that's a good point. he's got some different weapons, though, and I think – you know, maybe in hindsight, there should be some critical analysis of maybe looking at what we were doing when he was our quarterback earlier in the season and saying, hey, why weren't we pushing the football down the field? Was it play calls? Was it guys not getting open down the field? Was it because he didn't have time because his tackles were giving up pressure on the edge? I don't know. There's probably a lot of different things you can look at that. And maybe you can say, hey, maybe Kevin Stefanski wasn't dialing up those shots. But I don't know. I look back a couple years ago and Stefanski had no problem dialing up shots down the field for Flacco when he had some different players on the offense. So it's hard for me to point the blame exactly at the offense and what was being called, and probably a little bit more of looking at, hey, maybe the weapons that we had, the guys just weren't getting open for him, or they weren't catching the ball. And so he just didn't feel comfortable because he didn't have the time to get the ball down the field. But it's a different story when you got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Joe, I think a fair amount of people expected the Browns to have a struggle those first 6 weeks. I've maintained it's the self-inflicted stuff that bugs me more than the record. What's your read in the first 6 weeks of this team and the likelihood that they can turn 1-5 into something more palatable over the next couple weeks?
Well, the frustration for me, like you, is penalties, drops, missed assignments, right? Because those are things that we can control, and those are things that take no talent. We knew that we weren't going to be the most talented team in the league going into the season. So if there's one thing you want to focus on is, hey, let's not beat ourselves. Let's make sure that the emphasis is on limiting penalties, limiting mental errors, and let's catch the football. Those are very fundamental things in football, and we know that if we do those things, we might have a chance. If we don't do those things, we got no chance. And so pivoting towards the rest of the season, and this is something we talked about on CBD earlier in the week, it's like, all right, what are you going to make of this season? We know it's already feeling like it's a lost season, so what are we going to do with it? Well, let's focus on something that's concrete that we know we can accomplish. And what is that? Let's be tough, let's be disciplined, and let's be a physical football team that nobody wants to see. They know that they might be a better team than us overall, but you know what? It's going to be painful when they play us. And so how hard you play, that's something you can control. If you're on sides, if you know what the snap count is, those are things that we can control. And then, hey, let's focus enough where we can catch this football. Let's watch it all the way into our hands, catch the ball with the hands, bring it into our body. Our quarterbacks deserve it. Our fans deserve to see something exciting out there. So I think when you focus on those things and say, hey, that's what we're talking about every single day. That's how we're starting every meeting. That's what we're holding guys accountable, number one, first and foremost. I think that's how you potentially can still get something out of the season and feel good about maybe how you finish the season. But if they don't change that, it's going to only get worse from here.
How are we going to be able to judge Dylan Gabriel and eventually Shedeur Sanders if we don't have the offensive line and you don't have the receivers? How do you look at them on a even like a big picture and a game-by-game basis for being able to tell how they're doing?
Well, I think that's the trick, and that's a big reason why the Browns, Coach Stefanski, have decided to try to hold off as long as they could with Dylan Gabriel and then, of course, with Shedeur Sanders, because you want to try to judge him and give him the best, most fair opportunity. Obviously, that doesn't always exist in the NFL. However, you wanted to wait at least until they knew enough of the offense where you felt like when you're watching film, hey, are they getting rid of the football when they're supposed to? Are they throwing it to the right guy? Are they making a read based on, you know, is it a post safety? Is it a split safety? Do they know where their eyes are supposed to be? And then how are they doing when the play breaks down, when they escape the pocket? Are they making good decisions? And those are things that are always not apparent right away for the average football fan, because you actually got to go back and watch the all 22. And even beyond that, you really need to be in those meetings to know what that quarterback is being coached to do in those situations. And it's really tough. So as a fan, it's hard to know how do we evaluate these guys. But I think one thing as a fan, just watching the game on TV, what you want to see is you want to just try to see a little bit of steady progress. You want to see some of that leadership on the field, which is so important from that quarterback position. You want to see that quarterback on game day starting to be comfortable and feeling like he's the field general. When somebody guys screws up, he's getting in their face. He's talking to them, right? That's when you start noticing, hey, this guy's got confidence. He's got something that might lead him into being a franchise quarterback. I think it's those things. When the situation gets tough, does he go into a ball and curl up and get scared and fall down? Or does he rise to the occasion? Does he call out his teammates? Is he holding guys accountable? Is he standing in the pocket? Is he delivering the football on time?
Joe Thomas, Hall of Famer, the man behind Hall of Fame Beef as well, on the fan hotline with us, breaking down the 1-5 Cleveland Browns. Well, I do want to get to this Miami game, but you know the Browns are 4-19 in their last 23. And I've been a little maybe too obsessive about the idea of losing the locker room or how much losing is too much losing. So, you know, I will ask you, like, how much losing is too much losing before the locker room stops believing they can win this year? And maybe how much losing is too much losing before, you know, it's going to be tough for Kevin to keep these guys where they need to be?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't think it really has a concrete answer. It's very difficult to say, but I think what you can look at is how hard are the guys playing? You know, how are they fighting in the fourth quarter of a game that maybe is already out of hand? And I think that's really what they need to look at and what we need to look at as fans. Because I think if you start seeing some of those things, then you got a deeper problem. Because when you lose the locker room, like you mentioned, it's hard to ever get that back. You know, it's like the toothpaste or telling your kids about Santa Claus. Hopefully there's no children listening. But once it's out, it's hard to get back. It's hard to regain that trust. And that trust, I think, is the most important thing for a football player, right? You need to be able to trust the guy that's coaching you, that's designing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
The game plan, that he's going to put you in the best position to succeed. And when you do that, a true professional, no matter what the record is, no matter what the score is, he's going to give everything he has because it's his job, right? It's his livelihood. It's the name on the back of his jersey, the pride that he's playing with. And I think you can still get a lot out of guys, even in a season that's not going the way you want. But on the other hand, if you're not getting that, if you're seeing guys that are starting to make more mental mistakes, they're having more penalties, more drops, those things that they can control, that shows a lack of focus. If you're seeing guys that are not playing hard through the fourth quarter, right, then those are the warning signs, I think, that really tell you a lot about what that trust is and how that relationship is and what the locker room feels about not only just their situation, but what they're being given from a game plan standpoint and from a coaching standpoint.
You are instantly able to just hit the ground running with your NFL career, and you can tell me if that's just a wrong assessment. But as a top five pick, and Mason Graham's a top five pick himself. It seems as if the PFF grades aren't too kind to him right now at the moment. What would you say goes into that right there? Maybe a less than dominant start to the beginning of what is supposed to be a very promising career for Mason Graham.
Well, you got to remember too that he played 3-4, so he was more of a reader. In college, he wasn't as much of a penetrator. And then Jim Schwartz's system, he's playing a 4-3. He wants those guys to be disruptive, to get upfield instead of taking on double teams, absorbing them. He wants them to create chaos and havoc. And so I think there is more of a learning curve there than maybe like when I was a rookie coming in, you know, playing left tackle. It's kind of the same. I mean, maybe you have some different zone blocking concepts where you maybe get asked a little different technique in your pass pro. But for the most part, it's pretty similar. So I would expect that he's going to continue to grow and develop. I think he's got a great group. Obviously, we feel like our defensive line is probably the strength of our team. And so you would expect that as he's starting to become more comfortable, you're going to see him start to make more plays as the season goes on. And I guess I haven't seen his PFF grade, and I'm not sure exactly what it goes into it for a defensive lineman. But you definitely want to see that progress to feel like this was a great draft choice and that he's going to be somebody who's going to be one of our cornerstones of this team moving forward, but you're going to need to start seeing that pretty soon, I would say.
Joe, I know you live up in Wisconsin. I'm sure you have some little bit of following the Packers up there. I've watched that organization. I mean, the Rashid Walker kid is their left tackle. That's a former seventh rounder. Sean Ryan was a late third rounder. I'm trying to think. Tom, the kid is their right tackle. I know
Zach Tom.
Yeah, Zach Tom. Mm-hmm. I watched them just continuously find offensive linemen, and then I watched the Browns that it feels like the O-line factory that we had when maybe you were playing is kind of kicked out. What's the special sauce in finding offensive linemen and making sure you constantly have a chance up front on the offensive line?
So I kind of see offensive line drafts a little bit like Mike Holmgren used to draft quarterbacks, where every draft he was drafting somebody, right? Because I think it's really tough to judge the transition from how you play in college, because there's so many different offenses, so many teams playing spread, that it's good to take just a lot of your draft choices, especially in those mid to late rounds, and use them on offensive linemen, because you never know when that guy from Southwest Missouri State, you know, who was All-American in the SWAC or whatever they play in, turns out to be a great player. But you got to get him into camp. You got to have a chance to work with him. You got to give him a couple years to develop, because it's a position that you're doing something that's extremely unnatural, right? every other position in football, they run forward, which is something you've been doing since you were 2 years old. You're tackling guys. That's what you did with your brothers and sisters when you were 3 years old. You're catching the football. You're throwing it. That's something you've done your whole life in offensive line play. You're going backwards with your feet spread out. You're doing something completely unnatural. You're pushing people. You're lifting with your hips when you're in the run game. You're walking like a duck. You're blocking people like a gorilla. So it's those techniques that just take a lot of repetition to get good at. And so I think if you want to be able to build a strong and dominant offensive line, you just got to take a lot of shots. You got to take a lot of whacks at it. And I think that's something the Browns haven't really done a whole lot of. They have had a pretty good offensive line. I know they're in a bit of a transition period right now because they have had a solid offensive line or even a pretty good offensive line for a while. But now those guys are getting old. And I think their thought process was, hey, let's hang on to these guys as long as we can and try to fill in the holes we have elsewhere in the roster, especially going back. Hey, you spent a lot of money on Deshaun Watson, right? You thought that he was the linchpin to your championship. He was the key, and that, hey, we need to get positions around him to build this great team elsewhere. Obviously, that didn't work out. And now you're in a transition period where it's like, okay, well, because of that, we also didn't spend a lot of draft choices on offensive line. We didn't put a lot into that. We were trying to hang on to some older guys. And now, you know, it's one of those things where you're kind of meeting your maker a little bit, where you got a lot of problems that you have to deal with all at the same time.
Joe, I saw you yesterday. You were at, were you in Chicago? I thought it looked like you were at Barstool Chicago. Is that right?
Yeah. I drove down to Chicago yesterday.
Okay. And I want to know, just did you see the video? So they have a guy that works there named Michael Katic, who was a center for Indiana last year, and now he's doing the Barstool thing. And the whole video is him just meeting you and shaking your hand and him just whiffing on the moment to like ask all the questions he's always wanted to ask you. And then the video cuts away and it's him just being like, I blew it. I had my chance with Joe, my hero. I've loved him more than any football player ever, and I blew it, and it went mega viral. Do you see those videos after the fact, or is that the type of thing that in the moment you're just like, oh, yeah, he definitely blew it as you're walking away, but you just got to keep walking?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was a great day yesterday. I went down there to do a cooking show. I brought some Hall of Fame beef down there for their great chef, Donnie, and we did a cool cooking show. We made hamburgers, and we made some beef carpaccio. We made some amazing flat iron steaks that were incredible. And then, oh, shoot, they're filming the Yak over there. And so we went over there, and I did the gauntlet. And, you know, it's kind of fun just hanging out. I've known Big Cat forever. We both went to Wisconsin. We were the same class. But actually, with Katic, I didn't know any of that was going on because I was just there to do a cooking show. I was looking for Donnie. You know, there's a zillion people running around. And then after the fact, after I left, I had a bunch of buddies start sending me that as I was driving home, you know, stuck in traffic in Chicago. And it was really funny because I didn't even realize that that first moment existed. And then when I was leaving and we were talking, all of a sudden I saw somebody was filming it because Katic started asking me some very detailed and fun offensive line stuff about, like, hey, how do you get out of your stance when their feet are so narrow, and do you push off your toe? And we had the same one of the same coaches overlapped when he was at Indiana, Bob Bosted. He was our tight ends coach when I was in college. And so it was kind of cool. We got into the weeds on the offensive line play a little bit, and you could tell he was pretty fired up. And I didn't realize that that was the redemption moment, but I'm happy he got it because, you know, there's not that many people in the world that get nerdy on offensive line play like me. And so it was cool to have that little connection. And it was a really fun moment down there, being down at Barstool and then meeting a fan, even though he was wearing a Steelers hat, which that's probably why I blew him off the first time.
Joe, you're always so great with your time. Love what you're doing with Hall of Fame Beef again. If you guys haven't got your order in yet, sixspringsfarm.com. You can find Hall of Fame Beef there. I did two of the apple cheddar and a picanha because I need some picanha in my life, basically, Joe.
Oh, dude, I did a picanha last Friday. It was unbelievable. If you have a smoker, smoke it for like an hour and then finish in the sous vide, or you can finish on the grill as well. Just add that little like smoke flavor to it. It was unbelievable, and slice it thin. You're blessed, man. You just hit the jackpot. I can't wait to hear all about it, Nick.
I kind of feel like Kotick with the offensive line talk, but with food. Joe, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys. Thanks,
Joe Thomas there, Hall of Fame Beef at sixspringsfarm.com. Browns Hall of Famer on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the state of the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.